And now chapter 6, Maharaj Parikshit passes away. Sutta Goswami said, after hearing all that was narrated to him by the self-realized and equipoised Shukdeva, the son of Vyasadeva, Maharaj Parikshit humbly approached his lotus feet. Bowing his head down upon the sage's feet, the king, who had lived his entire life under the protection of Lord Vishnu, folded his hands in supplication and spoke as follows. He said, I have now achieved the purpose of my life, because a great and merciful soul like you has shown such kindness to me. You have personally spoken to me this narration of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Hari, who is without beginning or end. I do not consider it at all amazing that great souls such as yourself, whose minds are always absorbed in the infallible personality of Godhead, show mercy to the foolish conditioned souls, tormented as we are by the problems of material life. I have heard from you this Srimad Bhagavatam, which is the perfect summary of all the Puranas, and which perfectly describes the Supreme Lord Uttama Shloka. My Lord, I now have no fear of Takshaka, or any other living being, or even of repeated deaths, because I have absorbed myself in that purely spiritual absolute truth which you have revealed and which destroys all fear. O Brahman, please give me permission to resign my speech and the functions of all my senses unto Lord Adhoksaja. Allow me to absorb my mind, purified of lusty desires, within him, and to thus give up my life. You have revealed to me that which is most auspicious, the supreme personal feature of the Lord. I am now fixed in knowledge and self-realization, and my ignorance has been eradicated. Thus requested, the saintly son of Srila Vyasadeva gave his permission to King Parikshit. Then, after being worshipped by the king and all the sages present, Shukdeva departed from that place. Maharaj Parikshit then sat down on the bank of the Ganges upon a seat made of darbha grass, with the tips of its stalks facing east, and turned himself toward the north. Having attained the perfection of yoga, he experienced full self-realization and was free of material attachment and doubt. The saintly king settled his mind within his spiritual self by pure intelligence and proceeded to meditate upon the supreme absolute truth. His life air ceased to move and he became as stationary as a tree. O learned Brahmins, the snake bird Takshaka, who had been sent by the angry son of a Brahmin, was going toward the king to kill him when he saw Kashyapa Muni on the path. Takshaka flattered Kashyapa by presenting him valuable offerings and thereby stopped the sage, who was expert in counteracting poison, from protecting Maharaj Parikshit. Then the snake bird, who could assume any form he wished, disguised himself as a Brahmin, approached the king, and bit him. While living beings all over the universe looked on, the body of the great self-realized saint among kings was immediately burned to ashes by the fire of the snake's poison. There arose a terrible cry of lamentation in all directions on the earth and in the heavens, and all the demigods, demons, human beings, and other creatures were astonished. Kettle drums sounded in the regions of the demigods, and the celestial Gandharvas and Apsaras sang. The demigods showered flowers and spoke words of praise. Hearing that his father had been fatally bitten by the snake bird, Maharaj Janamejaya became extremely angry and had Brahmins perform a mighty sacrifice in which he offered all the snakes in the world into the sacrificial fire. When Takshaka saw even the most powerful serpents being burned in the blazing fire of that snake sacrifice, he was overwhelmed with fear and approached Lord Indra for shelter. When King Janamejaya did not see Takshaka entering his sacrificial fire, he said to the Brahmins, "Why is not Takshaka, the lowest of all serpents, burning in this fire?" The Brahmins replied, "O best of kings, the snake Takshaka has not fallen into the fire because he is being protected by Indra, whom he has approached for shelter. Indra is holding him back from the fire." The intelligent king, Janamejaya, hearing these words, replied to the priests, "Then, my dear Brahmins, why not make Takshaka fall into the fire along with his protector, Indra?" Hearing this, the priests then chanted the mantra for offering Takshaka, together with Indra, as an oblation into the sacrificial fire. "O Takshaka, fall immediately into this fire together with Indra and his entire host of demigods." When Lord Indra, along with his airplane and Takshaka, was suddenly thrown from his position by these insulting words of the Brahmins, he became very disturbed. Brihaspati, the son of Angira Muni, seeing Indra falling from the sky in his airplane along with Takshaka, approached King Janamejaya and spoke to him as follows, "O king among men, it is not fitting that this king of snakes meet death at your hands, for he has drunk the nectar of the immortal demigods. Consequently, he is not subject to the ordinary symptoms of old age and death. The life and death of an embodied soul and his destination in the next life are all caused by himself through his own activity. Therefore, O king, no other agent is actually responsible for creating one's happiness and distress. When a conditioned soul is killed by snakes, thieves, fire, lightning, hunger, disease, or anything else, he is experiencing the reaction to his own past work. Therefore, my dear king, please stop this sacrificial performance, which was initiated with the intent of doing harm to others. Many innocent snakes have already been burned to death. Indeed, all persons must suffer the unforeseen consequences of their past activities." Advised in this manner, Maharaj Janamejaya replied, "So be it." Honoring the words of the great sage, he desisted from performing the snake sacrifice and worshipped Brihaspati, the most eloquent of sages. This is indeed the Supreme Lord Vishnu's illusory energy, which is unstoppable and difficult to perceive. Although the individual spirit souls are part and parcel of the Lord, through the influence of this illusory energy, they are bewildered by their identification with various material bodies. But there exists a supreme reality in which the illusory energy cannot fearlessly dominate, thinking, "I can control this person because he is deceitful." In that highest reality, there are no illusory argumentative philosophies. Rather, there, the true students of spiritual science constantly engage in authorized spiritual investigation. In that supreme reality, there is no manifestation of the material mind, which functions in terms of alternating decision and doubt. Created material products, their subtle causes, and the goals of enjoyment attained by their utilization do not exist there. Furthermore, In that supreme reality, there is no conditioned spirit covered by the false ego and the three modes of nature. That reality excludes everything limited or limiting. One who is wise should therefore stop the waves of material life and enjoy within that supreme truth. Those who desire to give up all that is not essentially real move systematically by negative discrimination of the extraneous to the supreme position of Lord Vishnu. Giving up petty materialism, they offer their love exclusively to the absolute truth within their hearts and embrace that highest truth in fixed meditation. Such devotees come to understand the supreme transcendental situation of the personality of Godhead, Lord Vishnu, because they are no longer polluted by the concepts of I and my, which are based on the body and home. One should tolerate all insults and never fail to show proper respect to any person. Avoiding identification with the material body, one should not create enmity with anyone. I offer my obeisances to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the invincible Lord Sri Krishna. Simply by meditating upon his lotus feet, I have been able to study and appreciate this great literature. O gentle Suta, please narrate to us how Pila and the other greatly intelligent disciples of Srila Vyasadeva, who are known as the standard authorities of Vedic wisdom, spoke and edited the Vedas. O Brahman, first, the subtle vibration of transcendental sound appeared from the sky of the heart of the most elevated Lord Brahma, whose mind was perfectly fixed in spiritual realization. One can perceive this subtle vibration when one stops all external hearing. By worship of this subtle form of the Vedas, O Brahman, mystic sages cleanse their hearts of all contamination caused by impurity of substance, activity, and doer, and thus they attain freedom from repeated birth and death. From that transcendental subtle vibration arose the Omkar, composed of three sounds. The Omkar has unseen potencies and manifests automatically within a purified heart. It is the representation of the absolute truth in all three of his phases, the Supreme Personality, the Supreme Soul, and the Supreme Impersonal Truth. This Omkar, ultimately non-material and imperceptible, is heard by the Supersoul without his possessing material ears or any other material senses. The entire expanse of Vedic sound is elaborated from Omkar, which appears from the soul within the sky of the heart. It is the direct designation of the self-originating absolute truth, the Supersoul, and is the secret essence and eternal seed of all Vedic hymns. Omkar exhibited the three original sounds of the alphabet, A, U, and M. These three, O most eminent descendant of Bhrigu, sustain all the different threefold aspects of material existence, including the three modes of nature, the names of the Rig, Yajur, and Samavedas, the goals known as Bhur, Bhuvar, and Svar planetary systems, and the three functional platforms called waking consciousness, sleep, and deep sleep. From that Omkar, Lord Brahma created all the sounds of the alphabet, the vowels, consonants, semi-vowels, sibilants, and others, distinguished by such features as long and short measure. All-powerful Brahma made use of this collection of sounds to produce from his four faces the four Vedas, which appeared together with the sacred Omkar and the seven Vyarthi invocations. His intention was to propagate the process of Vedic sacrifice according to the different functions performed by the priests of each of the four Vedas. Brahma taught these Vedas to his sons, who were great sages among the Brahmins and experts in the art of Vedic recitation. They, in turn, took the role of acharyas and imparted the Vedas to their own sons. In this way, throughout the cycles of four ages, generation after generation of disciples, all firmly fixed in their spiritual vows, have received these Vedas by disciplic succession. At the end of each Dvapara Yuga, the Vedas are edited into separate divisions by eminent sages. Observing that people in general were diminished in their lifespan, strength, and intelligence by the influence of time, great sages took inspiration from the personality of Godhead sitting within their hearts and systematically divided the Vedas. O Brahman, in the present age of Vaivasvata Manu, the leaders of the universe, led by Brahma and Shiva, requested the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the protector of all the worlds, to save the principles of religion. O most fortunate Shonaka, the Almighty Lord, exhibiting a divine spark of a portion of his plenary portion, then appeared in the womb of Satyavati as the son of Parashara. In this form, named Krishna Dvaipayana Vyas, he divided the one Veda into four. Srila Vyasadeva separated the mantras of the Rig, Atharva, Yajur, and Samvedas into four divisions, just as one sorts out a mixed collection of jewels into piles. Thus he composed four distinct Vedic literatures. The most powerful and intelligent Vyasadeva called four of his disciples, O Brahman, and entrusted to each of them one of these four Samhitas. Srila Vyasadeva taught the first Samhita, the Rig Veda, to Pila, and gave this collection the name Bhavricha. To the sage Vaishampayana, he spoke the collection of Yajur mantras named Nigada. He taught the Samveda mantras, designated as the Chandoga Samhita, to Jaimini, and he spoke the Atharva Veda to his dear disciple Sumantu. After dividing his Samhita into two parts, the wise Pila spoke it to Indrapramati and Bhaskala. Bhaskala further divided his collection into four parts, O Bhargava, and instructed them to his disciples Bodhya, Yajnavalkya, Parashara, and Agnimitra. Indrapramati, the self-controlled sage, taught his Samhita to the learned mystic Mandukya, whose disciple Devamitra later passed down the divisions of the Rig Veda to Sobhari and others. The son of Mandukya, named Shakalya, divided his own collection into five, entrusting one subdivision each to Vatsya, Mudgala, Shalya, Gokhalya, and Shishira. The sage Jatukarnya was also a disciple of Shakalya, and after dividing the Samhita he received from Shakalya into three parts, he added a fourth section, a Vedic glossary. He taught one of these parts to each of four disciples, Balaka, the second Pila, Jabala, and Viraja. Bhaskali assembled the Valakilya Samhita, a collection from all the branches of the Rig Veda. This collection was received by Valayani, Bhajya, and Kashara. Thus these various Samhitas of the Rig Veda were maintained through disciplic succession by these saintly Brahmins. Simply by hearing of this distribution of the Vedic hymns, one will be freed from all sins. The disciples of Vaishampayana became authorities in the Atharva Veda. They were known as the Charakas because they executed strict vows to free their guru from his sin of killing a Brahmin. Once, Yajnavalkya, one of the disciples of Vaishampayana, said, "O Master, how much benefit will be derived from the feeble endeavors of these weak disciples of yours? I will personally perform some outstanding penance." Addressed thus, the spiritual master, Vaishampayana, became angry and said, "Go away from here. Enough of you, O disciple who insults Brahmins. Furthermore, you must immediately give back everything I have taught you." Yajnavalkya, the son of Devarata, then vomited the mantras of the Yajurveda and went away from there. The assembled disciples, looking greedily upon these Yajur hymns, assumed the form of partridges and picked them all up. These divisions of the Yajurveda therefore became known as the most beautiful Taittiriya Samhita, the hymns collected by partridges or Tittara. My dear Brahmin Shonika, Yajñavalkya then desired to find out new Yajur mantras unknown to even his spiritual master. With this in mind, he offered attentive worship to the powerful Lord of the Sun. Sri Yajñavalkya said, I offer my respectful obeisances to the Supreme Personality of Godhead appearing as the Sun. You are present as the controller of the four kinds of living entities, beginning from Brahma and extending down to the blades of grass. Just as the sky is present both inside and outside every living being, you exist both within the hearts of all as the Supersoul and externally in the form of time. Just as the sky cannot be covered by the clouds present within it, you are never covered by any false material designation. By the flow of years, which are made up of the tiny fragments of time called kshanas, lavas, and nimeshas, you alone maintain this world, drying up the waters and giving them back as rain. O glowing one, O powerful Lord of the Sun, you are the chief of all the demigods. I meditate with careful attention on your fiery globe, because for those who offer prayers to you three times daily, according to the Vedic method passed down through authorized disciplic succession, you burn away all sinful activities, all consequent suffering, and even the original seed of desire. You are personally present as the indwelling Lord in the hearts of all moving and non-moving beings, who depend completely on your shelter. Indeed, you animate their material minds, senses, and vital airs to act. The world has been seized and swallowed by the python of darkness in its horrible mouth, and has become unconscious, as if dead. But mercifully glancing upon the sleeping people of the world, you raise them up with the gift of sight. Thus you are most magnanimous. At the three sacred junctures of each day, you engage the pious in the path of ultimate good, inducing them to perform religious duties that situate them in their spiritual position. Just like an earthly king, you travel about everywhere, spreading fear among the unholy as the powerful deities of the directions offer you in their folded palms, lotus flowers, and other respectful presentations. Therefore, my Lord, I am prayerfully approaching your lotus feet, which are honored by the spiritual masters of the three worlds, because I hope to receive from you mantras of the Yajurveda unknown to anyone else. Satisfied by such glorification, the powerful sun god assumed the form of a horse and presented to the sage Yajñavalkya Yajur mantras previously unknown in human society. From these countless hundreds of mantras of the Yajurveda, the powerful sage compiled 15 new branches of Vedic literature. These became known as the Vajrasaneya Samhita, because they were produced from the hairs of the horse's mane, and they were accepted in disciplic succession by the followers of Kanva, Madhyandina, and other rishis. Jaimini Rishi, the authority of the Samveda, had a son named Sumantu, and the son of Sumantu was Sudvan. The sage Jaimini spoke to each of them a different part of the Samveda Samhita. Sukarma, another disciple of Jaimini, was a great scholar. He divided the mighty tree of the Samveda into 1,000 Samhitas. Then, O Brahmin, three disciples of Sukarma, Hiranyanabha, the son of Kushala, Paushyangji, and Avantya, who was very advanced in spiritual realization, took charge of the Sam mantras. The 500 disciples of Paushyangji and Avantya became known as the northern singers of the Sam Veda, and in later times some of them also became known as eastern singers. Five other disciples of Paushyangji, namely Logakshi, Mangali, Kulya, Kushida, and Kukshi, each received 100 samhitas. Krita, the disciple of Hiranyanava, spoke 24 samhitas to his own disciples, and the remaining collections were passed down by the self-realized sage Avantya. Thus ends the sixth chapter of the 12th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam entitled, Maharaj Parikshit Passes Away.